Well, good evening to all of you. Blessings to you. It's a joy to be with you. And wish you the grace of God, that divine influence of God. We think of the unmerited favor when we think of the grace of God, but I also think about the divine influence of God that works so mightily in the heart of man to it. Changes our heart and makes us live different. And I wish that for all of us. I wish you the love of God, the divine character of God would be with us, the peace, the divine result of God with us, that would be our strength. I had to think of the words of Jesus, or the words of the angels when they came down. When Jesus was born and they came down to the shepherds, he said, "Peace on earth and goodwill towards men." And that, I believe that's my heart for you tonight. Peace on earth, peace here in this congregation, goodwill. Not only should it be the heart, not only is it the heart of God towards his people, but it certainly should be the heart of God's people to each other as well. Peace on earth, goodwill. That is my heart tonight. That the scriptures that we share tonight would be an encouragement rather than a discouragement. I have felt a burden for some time to, when I was asked to preach these messages, as I think of leadership, as I think of servant leadership, as I think of leading in our homes, my mind went to the Christian home and the need that we have. And I guess I will just share this. It's been a little bit of a struggle for me over the years when I would see godly homes and you would go to the fathers and I would ask them about, you know, give me some pointers, you know, how do we do this? And they just get this humble look and they say, well, it's only by the grace of God. I believe that. But I believe we as older parents, older fathers that have been down the road have a little more to say, or should have a little more to say for our young people, our young married people that are in the midst of the battle. I really believe that. So I'd like to lay a foundation tonight, perhaps, and tomorrow night get a lot more practical with teaching on the home. I've titled the message tonight, Pitching Our Tents with Vision. Pitching Our Tent with Vision. Now I'd like to, just a few opening scriptures as an encouragement in 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, very familiar verses, and they excite me, they encourage me when I read these verses. But ye are, not shall be, not will be, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. A people of his own, accepted in the beloved. And I believe that's a necessary foundation tonight if you're going to be successful in raising your children and have godly homes, is that you have God with you, Emmanuel, that he is with you tonight. And that you have that confidence that you're accepted in the beloved. We need that security in our homes, that we as fathers and mothers have that security, that we are accepted in the beloved through the blood. Secure fathers and secure mothers are a good place to raise secure children. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We know that. And I one of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 40. I'll just read a few verses here. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. How many of you can identify with that? Amen. We can all, for those of us who have been born again, we can identify about that horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on rock and established my going. And he doesn't even stop there. He said he put a new song in my heart. Do you have that song tonight? Amen. Brethren and sisters, we need a song if we're going to raise our families with joy. If you're going to have your children enthused about the kingdom of God, we need to be enthused. We need to have a song. We really do. We really need a song. So, thinking about leading our families in the presence of God, I'm going to turn to John 15 and read a few verses there. We know those scriptures well. I make no apologies for reading scriptures that we know well because there's life in these words. My heart is full tonight. I just so appreciated the three messages we've already heard today. It was such an encouragement. And then tonight, as these songs, it surely can't be much betterness in heaven, can it? I don't know. I guess my voice won't crack anymore up there. I'll have a clear voice again. Praise God for that. I am the true vine, Jesus' words here in red, and my Father is the husband. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, don't stray from the safety of the vine. Whether you're a young person or an old person like myself, I guess I'm old, feel that way sometimes. But you know, I might be old and I might be older. I had one brother tell me today, oh, said, you're just a child. Dear old brother, it's been down the road a little further than me. You know, when we get detached from the vine, we become useless and withered. We become a useless and withered branch with no fruit. And we'd like to keep that principle in mind, staying in the presence of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I would like to lay one principle out tonight that I believe is very, very important as we think of being successful in raising our families for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is in the last two verses of the Old Testament. They're familiar to us. I know you know right where I'm going. But I'm going to read them. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the children's heart, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I would just like to suggest this evening, I believe Elijah that was for to come was John the Baptist. We know that. What was his message? Repent. That's right. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I would like to say tonight, brethren, if you want to draw your children's heart to yourself, then walk a penitent walk of life. Be repentant. Be humble. You'll draw your children, and the same way with the children, when they repent and they humble their hearts, it draws hearts together. Humility will do that for us. It's a principle that works every time. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. I love this story about dear old brother Abraham. Can I call him a brother? I think I can. If he's in heaven, it's because of Jesus. And he certainly gave us some beautiful types. Abraham. And I guess one reason I love these verses is because I think there's many of us here tonight that can identify with this. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. There's a number of us here that heard the call of God to leave the near and dear, all that was familiar. It wasn't easy. No, it wasn't. Called out to a land of promise. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, and as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Then it tells us how Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. You notice something in Abraham's life. He was called out and he didn't go far. Wherever he stopped, he built an altar. And I want us to think about that tonight. As we think of godly homes, as we think of leading our children in a right way. Abraham went out by faith. He was 75 years old when he was called out of the near and dear to him. And then it says, and Lot went with him. Lot went with him. Nothing wrong with that. Let's follow that a little further. Abraham pitched his tent in between Bethel, and there he built an altar. Now, as I think of pitching a tent with vision and building an altar, they go together. I had the privilege of being in a room just across the hallway from a family where I was staying, and their family was having devotions this morning. I heard them singing, and I couldn't really hear what they were saying, but I heard the interaction. I heard the voices, and I heard the... And my mind just went, yeah, there's a man that's building an altar. That was important to us all through our years of raising 10 children. Devotions was important. It happened every morning that we could possibly make it happen. And I'm sure most of you are doing the same. And if you're not, I urge you to build an altar. Your children need that. Pitching our tent by faith as we abide in the vine. There's many young families here tonight. And my heart is to point you towards a goal, a holy purpose, a vision of godly leadership in your home. Intentional, faith-filled parenting. It's going to take some intention. Just like Abraham, he went out. And even men of faith, even men who start out in faith sometimes mess up. And we don't go very far in the story of Abraham until I'll admit, I have a hard time with these verses when Abraham got fearful and he told his wife, he said, now Sarah, he said, I'm going over here to Egypt and I'm afraid you're a very beautiful woman and I'm afraid this king is going to kill me because he wants you for his wife. And I want you to say that when we get there, I want you to say... that you're my sister. It wasn't really a lie. She was a half-sister. But the point I want to make is this. Even faith-filled men sometimes stumble. We are all a work in progress. Every one of you fathers, no matter how good you have done with your family, you're still a work in progress, and so am I. There was a time in my life when I was just pretty positive. I was pretty confident that I had it together. My children were all 15 and under. And I want to tell you, young parents, if anything will humble you, it will be your children. They just have a way of acting up at all the wrong times and all the wrong places. And they make a fuss and a scene right where you don't, where you least want it to happen. That's okay. It's okay. They're also a work in progress, and they're also creating, they're doing something in your life that will humble you and make you grow in the Lord. But even though Abraham may have messed up, and maybe he was a little fearful, and maybe he lost faith, he stumbled. We do too. We fear at times. But you know, when our vision and our goal is clear, we come back to our purpose. Even when we haven't done the best, we come back to our purpose. We return to our altar. Now, we'd like to notice chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. There's that term again, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and gold. He went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, in between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Still interested in that altar. We pitch our tent toward heaven. We go towards, not away from. And I talked about that last night. Brothers and sisters, it is very necessary as we think of taking our children in a right direction that we have a goal, we have a focus, that we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Keep Jesus in your focus. Have a purpose. And move towards that purpose. You're going to lose that purpose from time to time, but we need to return back to it. Lot went with him. And brethren, I have a burden tonight that there's too many Lots and not enough of Abrahams. Too many people in the church just go with them. They're like a wheelbarrow Christian. You have to push them everywhere they go. Men of God, rise up and take your God-given place. Be men of God. Lead out. Take the lead. Your wife should not have to push you to say, couldn't we have devotions this morning? That's your responsibility, men. We don't just go with the faith-filled men, we are them. And if you're not, I urge you to get there. It will not be well with you if you don't. You know, I'm the first one to admit that we have 10 children, there's only one left at home. We didn't do well, always. We have some sad stories. One sad story. 9 faithful. There were times when I pitched my tent towards the well-watered plains rather than towards Canaan. And I paid for that. And you will too. But God brought us through many a valley to a place where we can say, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. I got the privilege to name our road that goes in past our house. It's how they do in Kentucky. If you get 2 or 3 houses on the same road, you can turn it over to the county and you get to name the road. And I named it Ebenezer Lane. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. The word Ebenezer is special to my wife and I. We just love that word. So many of you tonight know how it is to have the drawing of the familiar, the heart longings of the cozy, the family reunions, the family gatherings, my youngest 3 siblings got married and I wasn't invited to the wedding. Some of you can hardly, how can that be? We were excommunicated. And from then on, we had no part in that in the family. And I want to tell you tonight that I still appreciate my heritage. I am not bitter towards them. It took me quite a while. It took me 10 years or better. I wanted nothing to do with my past culture. I praise God for some steady brethren that held me until I got over my bitterness. If there's anybody of you, and I told you this last night, if there's any of you here that are bitter because of bad experiences of leaving, and you won't raise your families well that way. No, you will not. It will not turn out well. For the sake of your children, repent of your bitterness. It will take you down, and your children will catch that spirit. Being called out is a holy call, but there is a cross attached. A flesh to crucify, self-life to die to. And altars make the difference. Your altar, your relationship, you dwelling in the presence of God as fathers and mothers is going to make the difference. Whether you press on towards that heavenly goal or you look back to the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the flesh pots of Egypt. We've got that in us, that we like to go back there where it was a little more comfortable. Does this really have to be this tough? Does it really have to be this hard? I believe the altar is a place of faith-filled, intentional worship. A place where we have gathered stones. It takes work. Yes, it does. It's not easy when you have teenage sons that have a job and they want to get out. They got to leave the house at 6:30 to be at work till 7, and it's sometimes it's difficult to get the family together. I would urge us. I know some families have your devotions in the evening, and I'm not against that. We always did in the morning, and I wouldn't trade that. You can make it work if your priorities are there. You can make it work. If you can't make it work, perhaps it's necessary to change our jobs. It takes vision. It takes purpose. I love the story of a man salesman comes to his house and he says, "Your neighbor's been out in the field for the last hour already, and here you are sitting in the house." And his answer was, "Yeah." He said, "He's raising corn for the hogs. I'm raising boys for the Lord." So, brethren, what are you doing? Are you raising boys and girls for the Lord? Or have you dipped that low that you're raising hogs for the hogs? Raising, got that all wrong, didn't I? Raising corn for the hogs. See, we're a fallible man, aren't we? Pitch your tent towards Canaan. Build your altar. Establish it early. Establish it everywhere you go. Yesterday's altar is not enough. Get fresh manna. The children of Israel couldn't gather manna out ahead. They couldn't gather manna out ahead for the next couple days. Fresh manna every day except on the Sabbath. They gathered on the evening before the Sabbath. They were supposed to gather. And there's something in that. We gather Jesus every day. And brethren, I believe it's our responsibility that we wake up in time, that we have a fresh manna from heaven to give to our families every morning. And I have found it a blessing to just have my time, quiet time before the family gets up, and to have that time and to pray to God, "Lord, I need something fresh for my family. Something fresh." That's a challenge for me. It's not always so fresh. So, as we go over to verse 8, here we see that Lot had also gotten rich. He went with Abram. And there's a blessing to those who only go with. They still get the benefits from the church. They have fellowship. They have a lot of support. There's people that are there to help you in hardship. And it's a blessing to go with the faith-filled people. I'd rather see you there than not be with them at all. But I would urge us to be there where we are part of the faith-filled ones. And Abraham said unto Lot, there was strife between the herdsmen. And Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Friends, we're either pitching our tent towards Canaan, or we're pitching it towards Sodom. It's one or the other. I want to move through this. There's so much in this account. So Lot chose him the plain of Jordan. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. In verse 18 it says, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. There he goes again. Abraham moved. He pulled up stakes. He moved his tent. Every time he moved his tent, he built an altar. We can't read anything about Lot building an altar. Silent. Lot was not a wicked man. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, Second Peter 2, oh, if I would get to Second Peter instead of First Peter, it might work, huh? And he delivered just Lot. Just means honest. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexing his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. A just man, a righteous man. That's what the Bible says about Lot. Lot went with Abraham. He went with him. But consider with me tonight the progression of a man that pitches his tent towards Sodom. First, it says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. We just read that. I heard today, choices have consequences. Direction leads to destiny. In chapter 19, verse 1 of Genesis, here is the story where the angels came to Abram, and I'd love to read that all, but I'm going to leave that. And the angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up and to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. I don't know what you get out of that. First, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now he is sitting at the gate of Sodom. Sitting at the gate was a man of honor, a man of prestige, a man of position in the city. In the city. First, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now he dwells in Sodom. And then in the 12th verse, we see the angels telling Lot, I'm sorry, I missed a point. First he pitched his tent toward Sodom, then he dwelled in Sodom, and then he sat at the gate of Sodom. Progression. Progression. That's how it happens. Destiny. Direction points to destiny. And now he's in the city, and the angels are coming. He had risen to a place of honor. He had raised his family here. And then in chapter 19, verse 12, the angels said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out to spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked. My heart weeps for that. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Long story short, the angels finally took Lot by the hand and pulled him out of that city, his wife, his two daughters, and Lot. We know what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Lot goes on, and God tells him to flee to the mountains. And he said, but he had found his security in somewhere else. "Behold now," listen to Lot. And Lot said unto him, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Don't ask me to go to the mountains. Not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." Do you see where Lot's security was? "Oh, let me live in the city. I don't want to go out in the mountains. I don't want to go back to living a rough life." Well, we know the end of Lot. And it's a very, very sad end. A sad end of a man that pitched his tent in the wrong direction. His wife turned to a pillar of salt, and his posterity was born out of incest. And out of that came the Moabites and the Ammonites. And they were a thorn in the side of the Israelites. Matter of fact, they were not allowed to be brought into the camp for 10 generations. That's a hard, hard ending of a man that pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, brethren, you pitch your tent towards the world, that's where you're going to go, little by little. I want us to consider tonight, it's not about 2 months from now. It's not about 5 months from now. It's not about a year from now. It's about 20 years from now. What direction are you pitching your tent? Dear young people, I urge you to think seriously about life. When you get married and you have a wife, you want to pitch your tent towards Canaan. You want to get vision. You want to dwell with God. We either pitch our tent toward Canaan or towards the well-watered plains. And then there's enmity between that separates those who pitch their tents in opposite direction. At first, it's not a big difference. You know, I can imagine that Lot's children and Abram's children may have visited some back and forth. I don't know. But you know, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to get to a place when some of the people that left when we did, that I'm uncomfortable taking my children to their weddings. What happened? Friends, don't think you're not affected by this. We are all in this race together, and we're all going in a direction. I can picture poor Lot sitting at the, I don't know how long this took, how long he dwelt in that cave where those children were born. But I can picture Lot there at the gate, at the cave door, just wringing his hands. Oh, oh, if only. Those are the saddest words. Oh, if only I'd have taken a different route. The problem is we get familiar. We get okay with wrong direction. And after a while, the world doesn't look that bad anymore. Because we're so enamored with the well-watered plains. Oh, it's a burden to me. And I am not exempt. Will your posterity be a posterity of faith? You know, Abraham died in a good old age with his sons around him, and they buried him honorably. It's kind of what I picture. When I got to death's door, I'd love to have my family around me, singing maybe. Just, I don't know how that will be. I don't know. God knows. But brethren, I'm 40 years down the road of being a Christian, and I aim to finish well. I sure do. I'm way too far down the road to give up now, and so are you. Because the option of not finishing well is not very rosy. It's not very good. You're going to be sorry. Eternally sorry. Oh, if only. Saddest words. Just a little water to quench this tongue. Or to quench this thirst. Friends, it's not serious. Maybe Abram's life didn't make much sense. I don't know. Maybe Lot was a sympathetic father. Maybe he was the kind of father that just didn't want his children to have to live like a pilgrim and stranger. Live in a tent. After all, there's much more comfort other places. It could be that Lot just wanted the best for his children. He wanted to just be normal. Just be normal. What is normal? Is your normal God's normal? Ask yourself the question, brethren. We get used to thing. Is our normal God's normal? If it's not, we better change our normal. Maybe Abraham's life didn't make the best sense, dwelling in tents. After all, that's a little old-fashioned, isn't it? He's just a careful man, kind of eccentric maybe. But he sat at the door of his tent. Are you sitting at the door of your tent? Do you know what's coming in and out of your home? Do you know the music your children are listening to? Do you know what's on their phones? Do you know what they're looking at on the computer? Life has changed. It used to be magazines. It's not anymore. It can be. Do you ever go in your son's bedroom and lift the mattress and see what's underneath there? You're allowed to do that. You have that freedom. If you love your children, you'll check up on them. Oh, I used to get so upset at Mom. She'd always found the stuff that she wasn't supposed to find. I had an armor, a chest of like a big high armor, and underneath that, there was my secret place. But she figured out where that was. And I bless her for that. There was times I'd come in the house and I was so sure that I could pull wool over her dear eyes. And I wouldn't be in the house 3 steps towards the steps and she'd look at me, "What's wrong with you?" And oh, it used to aggravate me. Moms are very, very discerning. And I praise God for that. And for us as fathers and mothers, we need to be in touch with our children that when they're guilty, we will know it. Where are you tonight? Are you sitting at the door of your tent? or you're sitting at the gates of ease and comfort and distracted by business? Are we willing to be a Noah? I'm going to turn there to Hebrews 11. I just love this story about Noah. I just love that story. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know, I wonder, will it be said of us? Will it be said of me? By faith, Leroy took a stand and he built a boat on dry land. I don't plan on building a boat anytime in the near future. But Noah had never seen rain. And we have never seen the earth burn up. But we better believe it. And we better be building an ark to the saving of our house. We best be busy. We best be making preparation. I just so appreciated some of the teaching we got today. And I could spend all day, all evening into the wee hours of the morning talking about some of those beautiful truths. You know, the Word of God. Can we believe the Word of God? Even when we look a little odd, we take scriptural principles and we take a stand for that which is right. Brethren, if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for your home. You are responsible, not the ministry. There's a brother that shared something with me today that's been going with me all day. He just made the statement, I've seen about all the shipwrecks that I care to see. And I say amen to that. I just don't really want to see anymore. And the good thing is, you don't have to be a shipwreck. You've got the Bible. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got God on your side. You've got the hosts of heaven on your side. The angels, plural, always behold the face of the Father. They're watching over your children. We don't have to be one of those statistics of another shipwreck. And I want us to be encouraged tonight with the thought, we reap what we sow. Oh. You know, we have a tendency of looking at that verse and we think, huh, we reap what we sow. And we get all depressed. It doesn't have to be that way. I get to reap what I sow. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. If you sow the right seed to your children, you'll reap eternal blessings. Be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged tonight. I'd like to turn to Psalm 126 yet in closing here. The last couple of verses of 126. And it's right before 127 and 128 where it talks about our families. And we may touch on those scriptures tomorrow night. But listen to these words. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You'll have some tears in child training. You'll have some tears in raising your family. There will be disappointments. There will be heartaches. And there's no heartache like the heartache of an unfaithful child. There's no heartache that matches anywhere close to that. And I don't wish that on anyone. But listen to this verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Bringing our sheaves, bringing our children with us It's possible. In 2025, it's still possible. You know, we tend to look at, we just shake our heads and we think, oh, with all this technology, what, from our poor grandchildren, where are they going? What? Listen, the same God that was there for me, with all the temptations that I face, is going to be there for your grandchildren. He's going to be there for your children. God is able. God is able. But we'd best pitch our tent in the right direction. Tomorrow night, by the grace of God, I aim to get practical with that. Pray for the message tomorrow night. I'll turn the time back over to the moderator.